Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God's word for consideration this morning is written in Philippians chapter 3, verse 17, and then into the fourth chapter, verse 1, as follows. Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. For as I've told you before, often, and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables Him to bring everything under His control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like His glorious body. Therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. Here ends our text. Jesus' name, dear fellow redeemed, inserted in the bulletin this morning is that half sheet you probably noticed with the words printed at the top, my circle of life as a believer in Christ. And below those words is that circle colored with blue. Think of that big blue circle as your life as a child of God, living in this present, temporary, sinful world. A child of God redeemed by the blood of Jesus, whom He purchased to be His forever. You are an heir of heaven, and you are no longer part of this present world, but you're only a stranger passing through on your way to your true Father's home. And the small square-shaped boxes with roundish corners positioned inside the blue circle, they stand for the many and varied activities of your life on earth from the day of your baptism until the day of your heavenly homecoming. And they stand for all those activities like the times and the things that you do with your family, the time that you spend at church worshiping Jesus, your hours spent at the workplace, your learning time at school, the hours you spend relaxing, resting, traveling, also the moments of trials and tribulations that you experience along your life's pathway. And in this morning's sermon, the text that is before us, inspired by the Holy Spirit, which Paul wrote to the Philippians, the Lord gives us encouragement as Christians, as members of His family, the Holy Christian Church, to keep before our mind's eye and never to forget that in all these varied activities of our lives, from our baptism to our homecoming, that our citizenship is in heaven, not here. Call goes out to us from the Lord. Don't be caught up by the empty pleasures of this present temporary world, but center your lives on me, your Savior, and on the heavenly treasures that I give to you. The letter of Paul to the Philippians, where our text is drawn from, is one of the letters that falls into the category of prison epistles. And that means that it's one of those letters that Paul wrote while he was in prison. And the recipients of this letter were the Philippians, Christians living in the Macedonian town of Philippi. You may remember how Paul, on his second missionary journey was preaching the good news of Jesus to the people living in Asia Minor, modern-day Turkey. And one night he had a vision in which he saw a man standing from Macedonia and calling him, "Come on over and help me and my fellow countrymen." And Paul recognized that as a sign from the Lord that he was to carry the gospel message across the Aegean Sea from Turkey onto the continent of Europe. And not long afterward, he boarded a ship and set sail with his traveling partners Silas and Luke and Timothy. And they sailed to the seaport city on the other side of the Aegean, landed, and then they went to a nearby seacoast town that was called Philippi. And his first convert to Jesus at Philippi was a businesswoman named Lydia. She was a dealer of purple cloth. And the Bible says, this is all recorded in Acts chapter 16, that the Lord opened Lydia's heart to respond to Paul's message, and she and the members of her family were then all baptized, and she opened her home to Paul and his traveling partners to use it as their motel. And Paul stayed there at Philippi for quite a number of days. Also here at Philippi that Paul ran into lots of trouble. Maybe recall the story in Acts 16 of how when the Apostle Paul helped a slave girl whose body was possessed by an evil spirit, and that spirit gave her the ability to tell fortunes to people and was making lots of money for her masters. But Paul helped her out, cast out the evil spirit, and their source of income then was lost. It dried up, and then the owners of this slave girl were so angry with the Apostle Paul that they publicly accused him of throwing the city into an uproar by advocating customs not right for Roman citizens. And then Paul and Silas were thrown in jail, where they had that famous encounter with that jailer, who ended up being converted to Jesus too, with his whole family, and they got baptized. And then Paul continued to share the gospel in that city amidst all that trouble and turmoil for a little while until he went on to another city of Greece. I'm sharing these details with you, dear friends, just to show why this particular church, the very first that Paul founded on the continent of Europe, held a very special place in his heart. And it was some years later, while Paul was suffering once again as a prisoner, this time at Rome, that he wrote the letter that our text is drawn from to these Philippian Christians. He began it by telling them how thankful he was that God had created the bond of Christian fellowship between him and his fellow Christians. And then he let them know how he was praying that their love for Jesus might grow and increase. The second chapter, he wrote, "If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, by having the same love, being of one spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look out not only for your own interests, but also for the interests of others." Then comes that section, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondslave and coming in the likeness of men, serving you even by going all the way to the death of the cross." And then in chapter 3, he reminded them that the only true gain in life is knowing Christ as your Savior and obtaining the righteousness that comes by faith in Him and attaining finally to the resurrection of the dead. Everything else, Paul said, it's rubbish compared to that. And then we come to the part of the letter from which our text is drawn, where Paul reminds them of their heavenly citizenship, and where he warns them about all the dangers that they would continue to experience and face as pilgrims passing through the present temporary world, cautioning them about the danger of getting caught up by the pleasures of the world, of centering their lives around the things of this present world as if this were the temporary place that they're going to stay. Don't let your way of looking at things be clouded by the false ideology that happiness is found and contentment is derived from the things that the present temporary world has to offer. Do not live like those foolish unbelievers whose God is their stomach. And he said this, he said with tears as he thought about how many people, majority, rejected Jesus. Their God was their stomach. Their glory was in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things and whose destiny, sadly, was destructions in the fire of hell. I counsel you, dear brothers, join with others in following my example and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. Live as people who know, who understand, and who rejoice in this, that I am a citizen, not of earth, but of heaven. And we know the worldview Paul cautioned the Philippian Christians about long ago has not disappeared, has it? Doesn't take long for you and me to see, as we view billboards on the side of the highway, as we stand in the checkout line at the grocery store and notice the literature that's put up there for display, as we note TV shows and movies at the box office that are on the top 10 list of popular items containing blatantly unchristian material, not to mention lots of the material that's being spread on the World Wide Web. Or think about the volume of vehicles parked in lots at stadium sporting events and entertainment venues or heading out to ski resorts on the weekend on the freeway compared to those that are in parking lots of true teaching, gospel-based churches. Becomes very evident that we are living in a world where the majority, sadly, are living with an earth-centered, materialistic, unspiritual view on life as people who are living thinking that their citizenship is here on earth. And the danger is that we Christians forget what the Lord has made of us, and that our citizenship is indeed in heaven. So it's so good, and we're so blessed, aren't we, to have a Lord who reminds us in his Savior love in so many places in the Bible. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, his own special people, belonging to God. Once you were not a people, now you are his people. Once you had not received mercy, now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul and live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day that he visits us. Or reminders like John gives in his epistle, what love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. And he says also there, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man and the lust of his eyes and the boasting of what the world has and does, it comes not from the Father but comes from the world. And the world with its desires is passing away. The one who does the will of God, trusts in Jesus, lives on forever. Or you think of Jesus' words from his sermon, not his sermon, his high priestly prayer, where he prayed, "My prayer, Heavenly Father, is not that you take them out of the world, my Christians, my disciples, yet, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world, Father. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." How important, and again, how blessed we are as Christians and children of God to have all these wonderful reminders in the Bible that because of Jesus' work as our Savior and his blessing us with the free gift of faith by the Holy Spirit, that we know our citizenship is not here, but it is in heaven, so that we're not caught up by the empty pleasures of the people of the world. We know that the world is just like a cloud. We just sang this, like a vapor fleeting, a shadow that declines, swift to its end retreating. I have a higher good and content with it I'll be. My Jesus, he's my wealth. What is the world to me? And speaking of wealth, true wealth, let's notice how Paul provides great evangelical, positive encouragement to his dear fellow believers of Philippi and wonderful guidance for their lives as Jesus' disciples by describing for them the blessed joys that await them, their wealth in Jesus. He says, verses 20 and 21, "Our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly body so that it will be transformed and to be made like his glorious body." And that, of course, is a reference to Jesus coming on the last day. Jesus, who sits at God's right hand, who controls all things in the world for our good, he's going to descend to our world, and he's going to use his unlimited power as God's Son to raise the dead and to transform the bodies of all who have lived in the world but did not let the world live in them. Christians who look to their Savior for the riches he provided them in the gospel, the treasures of forgiveness and the robe of righteousness he purchased for them by his blood and the inheritance of heaven that never spoils or fades, who realize they have no permanent address here, whose homes are in paradise. Jesus is going to refashion, redo, rejuvenate, remake our bodies and all that sin and death have corrupted, miraculously transforming them into the best they can be to live in his heavenly presence forever. In view of all that, Paul wrote to the Philippians, and the Lord says to you and me today, stand firm. Stand firm in your faith. And as you go about your daily affairs and all your activities with family at home, at school, as a student, at church among your fellow Christians, and all those activities in the circle of your life, also the trials and tribulations the Lord permits in your life in his wisdom and love, also enjoying the good things the Lord gives you for your life on earth, but let them never become your main focus. Keep your eyes of faith on the goal in front of you. Fix your hearts on Jesus and the heavenly goal that rests ahead of you. Blessings that Jesus has acquired for you that are yours already, but which you will enjoy in all their fullness and perfection when he comes on that last day. Keep this thought in the forefront of your minds. I am a citizen of heaven because of what Jesus has done for me. Amen. And the peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, guard your hearts and thoughts through Christ Jesus. unto life everlasting. Amen.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Uphold with your Spirit free.